In the back of your bulletin, you have the scripture from 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 23 through 29 from the Christian Standard Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "Take, eat." Oh, and by the way, that is in another translation, or several other translations, that "take, eat." But I like it, and I put it in there because it's in many of our Bibles. It's just an addition that sometimes there will be a couple of these. If you notice that I say something that's not there, it's because I pulled it from another translation. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. In this way, let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, eats and drinks judgment on himself." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word. Well, it doesn't say so in your bulletin on the order of worship. So I'll have to tell you. Today is World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday. That word "world" probably communicates to you the concept of some kind of universal observation of communion. What Baptist churches mostly call the Lord's Supper. Others call communion. Still others call it the Eucharist. All of which refer to the taking of the bread and the juice of the grape as symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we share this Christian observance together to follow the Lord's command to do this in remembrance of his divine sacrificial death on the cross. The unity concept originated as a wonderful idea to have all Christian churches, all denominations, and have them all endorse the idea that although we separate ourselves by some peculiar and particular beliefs as denominations, there is the one unifying fact that we all recognize ourselves by the common certainty that our church is a body of Christ, of the one lordship of Jesus, Son of God, the Christ. And as you know, that much of the time, as we take our Lord's Supper regularly, usually on the first Sunday once a quarter, we tend to sort of add it on at the end of a regular worship service. Today, as we join hearts and devotion to Christ with our fellow believers, with Methodists and Presbyterians, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, and many other denominations of the Christian Church, our focus for all of this special Sunday of World Community, World Communion, the one focus of our service of worship is of the Lord's Supper and taking the Lord's Supper, our time to focus as Jesus told us to do, to turn our minds as completely as possible to remembering Him, who He was among us, who He was as the ultimate sacrifice to redeem us from the scourge of sin, as we can reject Satan through our Lord Jesus Christ, and who He is now for us as our living Savior. And we do this through remembering His body, the bread of life that was broken for us on the cross. And we remember His spilled blood, the sign of final death on that cross, the red reminder of the juice of the vine. And so we gather now, our hearts and minds joined together, symbolically seated as Jesus was with His first disciples around the table of the Lord. Are we all ready now? Are we prepared for this? Just remember this. When the disciples first sat down with Jesus, they had to refocus. They weren't ready for the supper that they were going to experience. They thought they were going to have, they thought they were going to repeat a Passover Seder, a remembrance of the sacrifice of a clean animal to cleanse their sins. Well, they sort of had that part of remembering correctly. It was a time of soul-searching and self-examination. But Jesus brought them up. He brought them up from glorifying the Egypt remembrance to the new reality that His own body, His own blood, was very soon going to pay the ransom once and for all who believed who He was and what He was doing, their Messiah, their sin Savior. And so in any and all ways that we need to today, let's take these next few moments to get ready, to prepare ourselves. And I want to suggest three ways for the special moments of our taking of our Lord's Supper, given to us through Jesus. First of all, let there be a spirit of humility among us. John, the 13th chapter, is about the time of Jesus sitting down with His disciples. And the first part is a beautiful story of Jesus washing His disciples' feet. Listen to these powerful statements in John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. After supper being ended, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He rose from the supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Right there is humility exemplified. You see, humility is an act of the will. It's a withdrawal of self and of giving submission to the Lord and giving submission to others. When Christ finished this simple but impressive action, He said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." You see, if we have the Spirit of Jesus, we will submit ourselves to one another in love, and we will serve one another. What better preparation for the Lord's Supper is there than this? Being willing to serve. Is there anyone whom you are not willing to serve? Well, brothers and sisters, we are called by Christ to put aside any self-pride and allow Him, our Lord Jesus, to always give us a servant's spirit of humble service to others. That's my first suggestion. Second suggestion, well, this is not my suggestion, but God's suggestion, is let us reject any of what I am going to call false or alien spirit among us. You know this. Judas, well, I'm glad on his own, realized he no longer belonged there at this supper. He didn't belong there enveloped by the Spirit of Christ. And he departed before Jesus finished turning their attention completely to his divine mission. It appears that Judas chose to leave what became the Lord's Supper, and he illustrates clearly for us a false or an alien spirit. He left the upper room to betray Jesus, according to the scripture. Matthew 26, verses 20 through 25, describes the exposure of Judas. Yeah, they saw who he was. He didn't want to admit it. John 13, later in John 13, verses 21 through 30, describe that same event of Judas being exposed and the fact that Satan entered into him, it says, verse 27. And so he left before that first supper, that first Lord's Supper was completed. He left as one opposed to what Jesus was doing. Of course, the other 11 disciples had problems too. Those who did have the blessing of the fullness, the completion of the Lord's Supper were not without their own flaws. They were kind of like us. We kind of like them. Because they were still... They showed this. They were battling among themselves for their position of prominence. You know, who's going to sit next to Jesus? When we observe the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, wrong spirits among us, similar to that of the Satan-filled Judas, would be tragic. We don't want anybody that far off. But there are other sins, and if those other sins are present, they ought to be rejected by us who have those sins through repentance, such as we see even with the disciples, sins that we might be working with, sins they had, like who was the better, who's the greatest, sins like some walls between us. Is there a wall here anywhere between you and someone else? True spirit, right at this moment, should be a single focus spirit, one of identity with the meanings and consequences of Jesus' death. That's what we ought to be focusing on. So right now, we must examine ourselves spiritually, quickly, so we can move on. My third suggestion to us all. Well, this suggestion revives our spirits from the last few moments of having to do what we must do, be real about how Satan wants to divert our attention and fail to see the reality of Christ. And that suggestion number three, is let there be a spirit of love among us. The heart of Jesus was filled with love. John 13, 1, the beginning of John, that chapter, that great chapter. John 13, 1 says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He commanded his followers to love. That's one of the great commandments of Jesus. I often called it with the Agape Christian High School students the 11th commandment. Verses 34 and 35 of John 13. I give you a new command, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, by that kind of witness, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Love was a sign of being a disciple of Jesus. And so here we are, sisters and brothers, right now. We cannot properly take the Lord's Supper right now if we do not have a Christ-like love for one another. Let's pause. Let's reflect right now, right here. Let's think. In a moment of silence, sweet silence, ask yourself, how do I outwardly display my genuine love to someone, to anyone? So let's pause. Open your mind's eye and think, how do I outwardly display my genuine love to someone?